I think the biggest challenge is probably transport. We've actually seen from produce from around the world, the actual suppliers, the growers, when they box up their product, they don't quite appreciate what it takes to sort of ship it halfway around the world. So we've seen, you know, pallet loads of boxes of whatever the product is. By the time it gets here and it's been sitting on a ship and being tossed around a bit inside a container, you know, the packaging is actually quite key. When the produce arrives here, they just believe it's as good as when they sent it. Less of a problem with produce that's grown around Europe, and it's such much more developed sort of infrastructure that the packaging really survives quite nicely. So that's one thing.
Well, we have relationships with people in Spain, in Holland, but in the United Kingdom, we basically try and trade with as places as close to home as possible. That just makes economic sense more than anything else. There's a big thing in the press these days appertaining to miles, that the carbon footprint, I think, is the term that they use. But it just means it's plain common sense to have it from as close to home as possible. And you get regions just north of here is the Lee Valley, which is one of the largest growing regions in the country for cucumbers. So we have a lot of cucumbers from the Lee Valley in the summertime, but it has to be the summertime. I say this time of year you have to go further afield for your supplies.
If getting the produce to market in good condition is one challenge, what about keeping it fresh and avoiding wastage?
Boxed oranges can last a while, potatoes in sacks, onions. By the time it gets here, if it's been in storage, that lifespan is dying at that point. So it's very much down to the nature of the produce and its history in storage to the point of when it reaches here. I think there is cold storage here to prolong the life of the produce.
As a rule, I would say we throw very little.
Oh, right.
I mean, we do get a bit of poor produce coming from time to time.
12 and 10.
If we see it's poor, we just attack it,
yes,
sell it, and worry about telling the supply afterwards. But as a rule, we throw very, very little.
Oh,
just
great.
Turn it into money. We're not a car showroom. It's for buying, it's for selling. So, you know, it's got to be sold.
And there is going to be an element of waste from start to finish in this whole process, and you cannot deny it. And that goes from the farmer that's got a glut, and Mother Nature has a big factor in all this. Mm. Unfortunately, so do the supermarkets, because they dictate what they want now, and they can also reject. But the fact is that farmer right at the start is being asked to grow X amount. Percentage of that will get ploughed back into the ground. There's nothing you can do about that. Mm. Most of the supply that comes into this market is actually from the same suppliers that would supply the supermarkets, because it is of a very high quality. This is not a dumping ground of waste.
Right.
So as and when I take you around the market, you will see the high standard of a lot of the produce here. The waste that we get here, we collect and send to an anaerobic digester in Hertfordshire that then heats the greenhouse that grows the tomatoes.
Keeping quality produce flowing in and out of the market is a test, and much of it is done using forklift trucks. These nippy and noisy little vehicles present additional hazards and challenges for everyone who works here.
Yeah, are we okay? About health and safety.
Yeah.
This is a hazard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
You just have to be always. You can see there's the beeps, there's the speed control. There's so much that has been put in place as it's all evolved. But and you're forever trying to think of new ways. You have to almost let it happen and just keep training them and sort of make the emphasis on you know, look. Make sure you're okay, but.
We clearly have a health and safety responsibility anyway, because we're the landlord and operator. Tenants do, obviously, because they're running a business in their little patch, in their little shop. That you have to have. You've got to have a health and safety committee when you're dealing with a business of this size. So we work with the tenants, we work with one of our contractors on site, we work with the union, we work with, you know, plenty of other people on health and safety as an issue. So it becomes a collective responsibility.
Well, the old Spitalfields was just over 300 years old when we moved. The actual design of the building wasn't a lot different to this. This is just a modern take on what we actually had over there, which was our request. And that's beginning just to give us a bit of grief at the moment, because it doesn't actually suit the rules and regulations pertaining to health and safety that's currently in place. So mixing up all our equipment with people doesn't bode very well these days. It was okay 25 years ago, but apparently it's not now. We've never lost anybody, nobody's died here yet, but the rules and regulations say that we're this building doesn't particularly suit what we're trying to achieve here now.
It is very hazardous. I don't know if Peter mentioned it, but a few years back he actually got hit by a forklift truck and broke his pelvis right on the spot, actually.
No.
Yeah, and he was out for 3 months.
So, if you're thinking of coming here to buy some food, then keep your wits about you. But also, think about what it's like to run a business dealing with perishable and delicate produce. These guys have got a lot of things to juggle in the air.